na chai tana prabhan sana jaya jaya goda na shiva sadhi go.
The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj on May 9, 1982 in Toronto, Canada.
Their prophets for the expansion of the movement. So Prabhupada, he had to build up brahmanas. He said, I need brahmanas. I need people to teach the society. So he said, half of the job is done. You see, he had made brahmanas. Other half was to do varnasam. What about the others, the vaishyas, the kshatriyas, who are going to be in the society, who are going to work outside, but they're going to chant Hare Krishna in their home and they're going to contribute money. They're going to do other type of service. They're going to preach and more devotees will be able to come. So of course, nonetheless we have to go on making more devotees and seeing who is ready to be called by Lord Chaitanya. At the same time, I see that the problems in maintaining the temples will be greatly reduced as the congregation is increased and as the people feel that they're benefiting by Krishna consciousness, they will willingly like to give something to help the preaching of the Krishna consciousness movement so that the preachers do have to do less preaching or less sankirtan based on paraphernalias and other things, and they can do more preaching based upon simply giving out books and giving out spiritual instruction. But this is a long-range program. It's going to be a gradual, because first of all, as soon as a person becomes attached to the temple or becomes, he's not immediately going to give out so much finance. As they start to benefit and start to see spiritually how the temple is helping them, more and more they'll be encouraged to give. We find that in, for instance, like in Calcutta or India, the big, big rich people who are the big influential Indians, they become our life members, but they hardly ever come to the temple. They give one-time money. After that, it's very hard to approach them. But the middle people who are coming, and they're regularly chanting, and they're taking part, they're part of our Namhat program, or our Friends of Lord Krishna program, the Vaishya Rishi program. Those people, because they're regularly chanting, they're associating with the devotees, some of them are taking initiation, they give a huge percentage of their time, and if they are making money, even of their money, to the Krishna conscious movement, because they actually have realized, they are devotees, they've realized that this is a very good thing. But they don't leave their families, they don't leave their businesses, they work outside, but they're very intimately connected. But it takes a while, it takes some time for them, even Indian people like that, to come up to that level. What to speak of in the West, it will take some time of cultivating. And I know that, for instance, I started the program, or encouraged them to start it in South America, where I'm a guru. And there was one boy in Peru, I convinced him that he should start to chant, and he started 2 rounds a day. I came back 6 months later, and then he said that now he's chanting 4 rounds, and he's stopped eating meat, fish and eggs. I came back 6 months later, that was after a year, and he was saying that now he's chanting 6 to 8 rounds, and he was stopping taking all type of alcohol and marijuana and things. Then again, after 1.5 years, I came, and he said now he'd given up, he was chanting 12 to 16 rounds, and he'd given up smoking, and he was following all the principles at that time. And so then I encouraged him, now you should steadily chant 16 rounds. It's going on for 2 years like that, gradually, gradually. But he's also, the temple said that he regularly gives donations. He sometimes gives 10,000 soles, 20,000 soles of their currency. And sometimes he gave up with some hi-fi stereo or whatever. You know, he's a very favorable person, but he was a bit attached. I mean, he just quit it all of a sudden. But the devotees encouraged him, and he was able, from his own position, to gradually advance. So, of course, for ordinary Sankirtan devotees who are, you know, used to, you to go out with a bag of books and you come back with, you know, that much result, or for other type of bhakta leaders and that, it might be a little slower. But it doesn't need only, it needs maybe one person to concentrate in an area, and other people to now and then preach and assist. And I have firm conviction and faith that by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, you will find many, many people out in the material world who will practice Krishna consciousness, and as you build up their ranks, then gradually over a period of years, they will supply a very strong base from which we can expand Krishna consciousness in another whole dimension. And then when you have also the strong base, especially in these Western countries which are all democratic, if you have thousands of followers, then they have to give you more facility for preaching because they're afraid of losing votes. If the Catholic Church wants to set up a booth in the airport, they could do it. No one's going to object. They could do whatever legislation because in Quebec, say, everyone is a Catholic, more or less. But of course they don't have to, so they don't bother to do that. Similarly, if we have a big following, then we can also get more and more facility. Now if you want to do preaching on Catherine Street, probably it's very hard to get a permission. But if you have 50,000 voters who are Hare Krishna, then they're going to make some arrangement. Otherwise there are going to be a few aldermen or people that are not going to get elected next time. You see, it works like that in New Vrindavan because they have their own little area there. Bhaktipat was saying that every time the commissioner comes out during the vote time and says, please vote for us. And they fix up the roads and they do whatever they want because they hold a majority of votes. So we're not directly into politics or anything. But the point is that these are another side benefits that at least for our preaching, we would also, people would give us more facility, the government and other people, although they're not unfavorable, they cooperate. But if they really knew that we had a broad base, it would be so much more easy to get different facilities. So there's many, many different ways you can see it. And this definitely is one direction that we have to take. When we calculate how many books we've distributed, then we want to see that from that how many people are chanting Hare Krishna. That's the natural next thing that we want to see. So some senior devotee who is able to patiently cultivate people and bring them up from one step to the next, you see, he might be encouraged to do that kind of a preaching. To recognize the devotees, who is more serious than others, there's basically few stages that seem to be popular in England and in South America. They call like the associate member, amigo de Krishna is in South America, friend of Lord Krishna in England. I don't know what it is in French. And in Italian it's amici di Krishna. And so first is just someone who's a little bit favorable, his name is on the mailing list. Then the next is they chant one round per day. In Peru, I called, we had a meeting in the National Library and 500 people came there. And in India, you know, we have these big panel programs and I request all the people to chant Hare Krishna and to promise to chant every day 108 times, minimum, which only takes 5-7 minutes. I ask the people that how many of you can give 7 minutes a day to make yourself completely happy and peaceful? Is there anyone who doesn't have 7 minutes a day? Raise your hand. All those that want to be happy, raise your hand. Anyone in the room wants to be happy, raise your hand. You see? Everyone that wants to see the whole world happy, raise your hand. Everyone wants to see, likes the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to make everyone happy, raise your hand. You see, like this. Then you say, alright, how many can give 7 minutes to do it? Raise your hand. So then we say, our request is that you should chant Hare Krishna 7 minutes a day at least, 108 times, you see. So I do that in India, we get 500,000 people, they all sign up, and we cultivate them, and we deal, and so then I told them in South America the same thing will work. But they said, no, here the people, you know, they're a little bit different. So then in the National Library, I had 250 cards from Calcutta, even if it was the wrong language in English. Everyone speaks Spanish. I gave the same appeal, and 400 people lined up to sign. I only had 200 cards. Other people, they signed their name and address on a paper that when you get the card you send to me, we'll daily chant. You see. So maybe a different percentage of people at different places will do it, but then they have a nice program, you have a nice... If you just appeal to the people, why don't you try chanting? Doing a transcendental meditation. And then try chanting, see if you benefit. For 1 month, try it. For 1 year, 5 or 10 minutes a day. If you can, then you can, if you like it, you can go on increasing. And this way, more and more people, as they start to chant, you'll see that the whole atmosphere will change. People will start to become happy. Yes?
Yes, sir, I'd like to thank you very much for coming to Montreal. I always look forward to when you come. And I'd like to ask you if you finished the translation of Navadvipa Mahamaya? I can't seem to find it anywhere.
No, I'm going, when I go back, I'm going to finish it.
How will it be available to the devotees?
It's going to be published by BBT. This rough copy has been done, but then the final thing, because it's going to be a BBT publication, so it has to be, as you know, perfect. So therefore, I have to go and do the final editing of it. We finished a good part of it. The whole thing is done rough, but now the final. Yes?
The authorities in Krishna consciousness movement, do they have a direct link with Krishna?
Yes. Through the Guru Parampara. But that is a direct link. Just like if you see the wire from here, and if you take the wire right now and I rip it down and I say that you touch the end of the wire and grab it, will you have a direct link with the powerhouse? No? Can you explain it?
Alors, j'explique que si tu arraches le fil de lumière, si on arrache le fil pour te le donner, pour lui toucher les deux bouts en même temps, est-ce que tu vas avoir un contact direct avec la centrale électrique? Par le courant lui-même. Peu importe où tu vas, tu fais le fil, le courant va
t'aider. So in the same way, that direct power, if it's not coming down, then how the devotees are able to work and chant Hare Krishna and be so happy? Can you explain?
Moins qu'on ait ce contact par la succession des disciples, comment est-ce qu'on peut avoir un contact avec Krishna?
Just like if you want to go to a doctor, you want to see if he can cure your disease. But you're coming in contact with the leaders of this movement, if you follow their instruction and advice, when you get transcendental happiness, then you can know that they are in touch with Krishna and they can give you Krishna.
Comme quand tu vas voir un médecin, tu veux savoir quelle est ta maladie, et tu vas suivre ses instructions, tu vas lui faire confiance. De la même façon, par les instructions que les dévots te donnent, tu peux essayer de les suivre, expérimenter par toi-même le bonheur que tu vas dériver de suivre ces instructions. Là, tu vas réaliser ton contact avec Krishna.
Krishna consciousness does not mean to give up anything. But it means that everything is done in a spiritual way. We have spiritual eating, spiritual resting, we even have spiritual families, and we have so many spiritual activities. Everything is done in a spiritual way, in a Krishna conscious way. Nothing is missing. Everything is complete. Hare Krishna. Yes?
So if the devotees are chanting, they are not feeling happy because they are not married.
That means that they must be committing some offense.
So the next stage of chanting.
So they should start to chant more seriously in a more humble way. They must be developing either some other desires are there. So instead of tasting the holy name, they're building up other desires. Fame, prestige, breaking some regular principle, doing some offense. If you follow the system properly, you'll definitely melt your heart.
Sometimes we come in contact with people who actually come to Krishna consciousness, they are curious, but they don't want to belong to any kind of ritual or any identification with a particular group. So how can we encourage them to chant the Maha Mantra and so that they don't feel like they're, you know, dragging a sect?
Well, they can chant in their own house. They don't have to belong to the group. We don't say that you have to belong to the group.
But why this mantra in particular?
Huh?
Why this mantra?
This mantra is recommended in all of the Vedas. Just like it says in the Kali Santarana Upanishad, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Iti saudasakam nam nam kali kalabhashanashanam. Nata parata upaya sarva vedeshu drishyate. Iti sodasakam namna. These 16 names, Kali Kalamash, Vinashanam, it takes out, destroys all of the contaminations and dirts and evils of the Kali Yuga. Nata parata upaya, there's no other superior alternative. There's no other positive alternative than this. Nata purata upaya. Sarva vedesha disha. This is the conclusion of all the Vedas. In the Narada Pancharatika it says that all of the powerful Vedic mantras, if you condense them and put them together into 8 words, that is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
8 words.
So can the people be encouraged to chant like other names of God?
If they don't have faith in Krishna, we are not parochial, they can chant another name of God.
And they'll be gradually purified to accept.
Well, that they can. We know that by chanting Hare Krishna, we get the benefit. And that if you chant similarly, follow the similar process we're doing, if you chant any bona fide name of God, then you can also achieve benefit the same way, you see. But there's no name as merciful as Krishna. If you know that there's only one common God over everyone,
that's the basis.
Then that's the basis. Then where is the harm if you chant His name in English or in Hebrew or in Sanskrit or in Chinese or whatever, you see. The point is that each name, if it's the proper name, in Sanskrit, Krishna means the all-attractive, the reservoir of all pleasure. It's a very merciful name, very powerful name. The word God is a very vague thing. Dios, or Dios, Dios, Deus. Dios. In Spanish is Dios. Dios. So it's a very vague thing. It means creator or great or something. It does not very definitive, you see. So like that, but if there's any bona fide name, you can chant it. But according to that meaning of that name, you'll get a certain reciprocation. So this name Krishna is some very special name because it touches a very intimate point in Krishna's heart.
What is the meaning when Rishi Tanya says that there's no hard and fast rule in chanting the Maha Mantra? as we go on, we say we have so many offenses to avoid.
You can chant it any time, any place. You can chant it on the roof, in the street. You can chant it while you're laying down, while you're standing up, while you're standing on your head, while you're in the bathroom. You can chant it while you're eating. You can chant it any time. There's no hard and fast rule. For when and where and who can chant. Anyone can chant.
But then if one commits offenses and chanting, he doesn't get it.
But it's still better to chant, even you commit offense. But if you commit an offense to the holy name, the only way to get over that offense is by chanting more holy name. Just like if you commit an offense to a Vaishnava, how do you get forgiven for that? You have to go to the Vaishnava. If you commit an offense to the holy name, then how do you get forgiven for that? You can only get forgiven by chanting and praying to the holy name for forgiveness. There's no other way. The holy name is the only competent authority to forgive an offense against the holy name. And even the demons, of course, that were fully Krishna conscious, in a demoniac way, they got liberation. It's better to be an offender, chant the holy name offensively than not to chant at all. But it's best not to be an offender of the holy name and chant offenselessly. So one should strive for that.
So what happens if somebody come to the temple often or periodically and never want to chant?
Well, Prabhupada said even if they hear, that's also good. By hearing gradually. The thing is, like say, many of the devotees in our temple, they may have been practicing for several births before. They may have been coming to the temple like that and hearing it for one birth. And then then the next birth, now they're living in the temple as a devotee. You see. As long as they don't disturb anything, all right. We want that people immediately, but we can engage them in service. Some of those people, sometimes if you just know, alright, he's a tough nut. He's not going to chant, he's not going to become a devotee right now, alright, but engage him in some service. Eat prasad. No, you have, before they eat prasad, you can also get them to pick up buckets and do things like that, you know. A lot of times these people will do some service. They don't mind working. They mind less working than they do chanting, some people. And by serving, they'll get purified also.
Yes. Would you tell us the importance and the impact of a Narinam when we go on the street, you know, when we are in the front of people, we don't have a use of what is going on now. What is the benefit of the Narinam?
Unlimited benefit. You see, they're able to hear the holy name that's entering into their heart, that's destroying so many of their sinful reactions. And they may be afraid or they may laugh in the beginning. When Haridas Thakur used to loudly chant, sometimes people would criticize, go, "Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, ha ha." he would look very grave, so that way they would think that, oh, we are successfully agitating his mind, and they would chant out loudly, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna," group, you see. And then that way inside he was very happy that they're chanting Hare Krishna more and more. The more they chant Hare Krishna, the more that they will be Krishna conscious, the more they will benefit. So many devotees, they see devotees, they chanting. At that time, they don't know what it is. There's a devotee that's in Toronto now. He can remember seeing devotees chanting in McGill in 1968-69. But he didn't know anything, he just walked by, "What's this?" And he went on. Now he's a devotee. That chanting plants seeds in the heart.
What about people who come to the temple that sometimes there are children and let's say they come and they, you know, may chant or whatever, but, you know, they steal things like that. And you want to encourage them in terms of them making spiritual advancement, yet they're committing offenses by doing those things. So how do you deal with that? Do you let them still come, or?
No, well, if you can, in India, we got everything in such a way that you can't steal anything because there's nothing around there. But if they still find a way to steal, then we throw them out. Because that's not sincere. Unless they can come sincerely. To come to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for some material reason or something.
Let them be benefited by other means.
No, they can.
On the streets.
What is it?
I know that like in Africa and some places a lot of theft is there. They just keep everything out of reach. Here, people are more honest, so they don't worry so much about theft. But still it happens. So then if things are kept out of reach, then maybe they can come. And if it's not, then you... The two, you know...
So we should not allow this theft, and it's not, sometimes there's so many crazy people coming in and doing nonsense.
No, we're not. We have to be practical. Chanting the Harinam is, one can do that, but still we don't, people shouldn't, if they're going to commit offenses before the deity or steal the deity, then we know it's better that they chant Hare Krishna outside. They're not ready to come to the temple. Unless they can at least keep some minimum standards.
You were talking about this devotee who go to a place and gradually cultivate people, have this expertise, and gradually bring people forward on the path of devotional service.
Whatever he does, you encourage him.
So is there a set method of different phases, like are the reading of books, meeting cards before chanting, and chanting before?
No, you can see it. Different people are doing it in different ways in different places. In terms of preaching, it's always a kala desha patra, time, place, and circumstance. Some people become Krishna conscious by going to cooking lessons and associating with devotees and learning how to cook and chanting. Some people become just by friendship with a devotee. That's the main reason why many people come, is because they make a friendship with a devotee. Someone has to be a friend of these people, but not on their level, but on a Krishna conscious level. Whatever they do in Krishna consciousness, you encourage them. Oh, how, you're chanting two rounds? Very good. Then, you can try to increase. Encouraging. Not that, oh, you only do two? You are not advanced. You are not good. Then they feel discouraged. Sometimes devotees, like they say, so someone says, oh, I'm chanting eight rounds, and then the person, you are not chanting 16 rounds. Then they lose their enthusiasm. They lose because they're not so advanced, so that that time they need to be encouraged. Oh, you're doing very well. How much nicer if you could do better in a more positive way, positive alternative. Encouraging them. Whatever they're doing, it's good. Try to do more. So how, if they'll listen, the closer it is to taking that our standard program, the better. You know, and the slight variations, you know, there can be cooking, it can be festivals, it can be so many other little things. Whatever, it can be music, it can be drama. Whatever you can engage them in, yena tena prakriya, whatever means you can get them to have more faith in Krishna. But the devotee has to agree, has to be careful not to associate on their level, you see, too much. Because not that he becomes like them, but they should become like him. They should become more advanced. Any mothers?
What about seeing Param Pada when you try to make your friend with the Param? Sometimes
you have to do so much
compromise.
So that it seems that you can't even say parampara, because the parampara is so strict, you know.
And in the preaching.
Yes, and when you're preaching to someone, sometimes it seems you have to compromise so much to accommodate them to sort of...
You don't have to compromise, it's just a question of knowing how to present it. That's why I find that to do this type of preaching, or a new devotee cannot do it. It requires someone who has such a broad understanding of the philosophy that he can present it to the people without compromising it.
I'll give you an example. There was a guest here one Sunday, and the woman came running to me. She said, "Please, please come and preach to my husband. He doesn't want to listen. We were trying to convince him about reincarnation and this and that. And some devotees are trying to speak to him, but he's preaching to them." So I was a little reluctant to go, because I felt that, well, if he won't listen, what's the use? And let him take prasad, a little association, and he may come back. So, but the experience was that the devotees who spoke to him are young devotees. So they didn't quite know how to approach him, and just ended up that he was still pretty much cool-headed and controlled in his misconceptions in some ways. And the devotees left completely fried up and frustrated.
In a congregational program, it's a little bit different, maybe in the tempo of things. But the same principle is there. Prabhupada said we can keep cows in the barn if they give milk. You see, so we can spend time with a person as long as they are actually taking the association and appear to be benefiting by it. If a person seems to, Prabhupada said, how do you know if a person is sincere when you speak to them and they listen? If you speak to them and they don't listen, they just immediately give another question or they don't seem to be listening, you know, then you know they're not very sincere yet. If a person will listen, then the more association you give, the more it will start having effect. If they don't listen to you, if they're not actually listening, then of course they're not sincere. So then you just put them on the mailing list, and then gradually they may become sincere later. So how much time you give to a person will depend on how sincerely they'll listen. And then when they listen, and then how they actually, you know, try to practice. So it may be a gradual thing, but if they're listening and they're trying, so then you give a little time, and you spread it out. And then a person's not really listening or just wants to waste time. So you be friendly, you don't burn the person out, you encourage them, but then you don't waste so much time with that person until they're a little more serious. You just keep a friendship, and they'll start to keep coming. That means they're not yet ready yet. They haven't been kicked enough by Maya. So you just keep them friends. You know, no reason to just burn them out because they're not that sincere. And then you spend more time with those who are more, proportionately more interested. And then as you train up other people like that, they will be able to go and preach to these people because they're a little more on their level. They can waste more time with them. They have more time to spend, you know. And then they can cultivate people like that and then bring them up to the next level. Many times you find people don't follow regular principles. They bring many devotees to the temple, but they themselves don't become devotees fully, because they just have some. They like Krishna consciousness, but they just have some attachment. They have some lack of faith themselves. So that was described even in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Some have prachar and some have achar. To have both achar and prachar is very rare. Some can do some little preaching. Some can do some practicing, but to be perfect in practicing and preaching, that is more rare. So you can even have a person, he may not be fully, you know, pure, but he may be able to give a few books out, to do some kind of little, so to bring his friends to the temple. And that way that's also a preaching. In India we have agents who distribute books. We have 50 members of the Namhat who take 20 books every 2 weeks. And give them out. And one man, he sold almost 6,000 literatures last year. So we see that in the long run,
this way many books will be able to be distributed. Say you have 1,000 active friends of Krishna in a congregation of say 10,000. So the active people, you give them some quota, you give out 5 books, you give out 10 books, you give out 20 books, you sell to your friend but you pay for it out of your own thing and you give them out. However, but you're responsible that 10 books go out this month. Or 5, you know. So this way, or 20 for another person. And they say average 10, if you have 1,000, that's 10,000 books a month. With the devotees, then only one man is distributing 10,000. One man through all these people. So now we just, every month, we pack them up and we mail them to them. Some of them are living far away from Mayapur. We just send, you know, like in the distant towns. We send them their 10, 20 books, and they distribute, and then they send back the money, and then we send them the next set. So there's so many ways that the people can be engaged in some preaching. When the traveling parties go, they stay there in their houses and preach to them. That's how this one devotee, my disciple in Toronto, used to be Shankar, now he's Vrajajivana. The devotees used to always go to his house and stay there on Sankirtan. And he let them use his house for a Sankirtan base in Waterloo. And as a result, he became, from the association of devotees, he got great faith. Until, you know, he's following 16 rounds and chanting and all the principles until he wanted initiation. Yes?
For some reason, it seems sometimes devotees are real busy. Like there are people in towns where maybe there isn't a temple, where maybe devotees are traveling through, like, you know, one person in particular I know really relishes the association of devotees, and sometimes I know that devotees are going to be going through that town. So I'll give the address to this particular person, ask them to just maybe drop by, give a little prasad or whatever. But it seems that sometimes devotees are so busy that they can't afford to even spend, you know, 10 minutes, a half an hour doing, you know, like things like this. Where I was thinking that maybe if we, you know, do, you know, little things like this, it would encourage these people to even respond and serve more. Because, like, I know this particular person, if a box of VTGs or books, etc., were dropped off there, this person would make sure that they were actually given out. But it seems sometimes that even if, you know, you crunch boys on this, you know, it's, they don't
it has to come from the top, and they don't get done.
Yeah, it has to come from the top. You have to organize like that. If it comes from the leaders, then the people, they can do a program in the person's house like that once every 2 weeks or once a month. He can invite his friends, and you know, even the grihastha couple can go, and the wife can teach his wife, if he's married, how to cook. You know, or they can bring over the people, and they have like a whole little cultural thing. You do a kirtan, have a little short class, play some of the new, you know, recordings of Krishna rock or whatever, depending on the time. Or you show the video show. And,
so much appreciated.
You know, now there's 27 videos or something, right? 27 or 29, I guess. So, I mean, there's so many shows. And then there's live shows. So you can be a little, you know, it can be a little lively, you know, it doesn't have to be. Even in India, everywhere we go, we have our slide projectors, we have our cinema projectors, and we should, that's the main thing. Everything is audiovisual.
Mm-hmm.
So what to speak of the West, where they're already used to multimedia. Yes?
I was just wondering how all this preaching in Bengal, how
is
it affecting communism?
Just
so much preaching.
Many communists are becoming Krishna conscious.
I heard that there's a lot of
communism. Well, it's just, you know, it comes in waves. The previous political party didn't make the people happy, so the communists said, we will make you happy, right? Now the communists are in power, now the people are becoming frustrated. Maybe this term or the next term, they'll probably get kicked out. This is, you know, they're the same cheating and the same everything as anywhere else, you know.
Well, they complain that, you see, this is because we're communists in a capitalistic system. So what we have to do is have... But everyone can see that they're cheating also. Just like in Quebec, when I was here in 1968-69, then there was a different party. Then there came the Quebec party. After I left, they came in power. But now already I heard people are getting frustrated because the economic situation is bad. This always happens in the world, changing. First in America, there's the Republican, then the Democrat, then the Republican, the Democrat. But Srila Prabhupada said that the only cure for communism, atheistic communism, is Krishna consciousness. That is the actual solution. Yes. It's been published softback, now we're also publishing a hardback.
In Russian?
Bengali, he asked.
Do you have a key in Russian?
I don't know. I don't think so. In Polish, they have no. We had to get special computers to publish these languages, Polish, Yugoslavian, Russian. These are very complex languages. To try to write Sanskrit in Russian.
There's not many sounds. There are a lot of sounds. There's no equivalent whatsoever in Russian.
No. So Srila Hari Keswami is a great problem for doing these things. But he's made the computer program himself, personally.
When we want to become a preacher, when we want to preach, how can we be a perfect instrument, you know, that the way we speak, the way we move, it's right on, you know. How can we? How can we be powerful in our preaching? Sometimes we speak, we repeat the words and all that, you know, but it seems to miss the power.
You see, the point is that we do not make the holy name as our servant. We become the servant of the holy name. It's not that when we chant, now I'm going to chant and I'm going to become ecstatic. Ram, 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 ram. Why I'm not ecstatic? Or that, alright, now I'm going to preach. Here I am, a great preacher, now I'm going to preach. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Why everyone is not surrendering to Krishna? I am preaching, me, the great. Alexander. Because we cannot force the holy name. It's not our servant. We are surrendering to the holy name. That we are your instrument, holy name. We are the medium. Is there cookie something about? We are the medium.
You have a good hand in there.
Therefore we chant and we absorb ourselves in that consciousness, we absorb ourselves in Sankirtan as a servant of Krishna, the servant of Lord Chaitanya, the servant of the Holy Name. Let the Holy Name engage us. We want to say something, we have to pray to our spiritual master, pray to the Holy Name to purify our consciousness, to engage us in the service. Unless the Lord gives His mercy, it's not possible to preach. It's not possible to experience this. It happens by the Lord's mercy. It is not a mechanical thing. It is something that is a descending mercy. And therefore, as soon as you get a little proud, you think that now I know how to do it, I'll go out and do it, you can fall on your face. Because that mercy will be, as you say, even you become more and more expert, but you never forget for a moment that unless the Lord gives His mercy, I won't be able to do it. Therefore, before we speak, we always offer respects, our prayers to the spiritual master, Lord Chaitanya Krishna, to get their mercy. Then we can preach. Then it can touch people's hearts. By His mercy. If it touches someone's heart, that's the mercy of the spiritual master and Krishna. The preacher doesn't think that, no, that somehow or another, by my greatness, is touching their heart. Somehow or another, by their mercy, I've been able to be instrumental and it's touching their heart, by their mercy. If I somehow think that it's only due to me or something like that, then the mercy may be cut off and I won't be able to preach properly anymore. The more we can surrender in that way, the more we actually transcend material condition. You have any question? You are liking Hare Krishna movement?
Very much.
Thank you. You're having any question? Bhagavad Gita in the hand?
No.
What's his name?
He's been in the movement for 11, 12 years. It's hard to tell these days.
Incognito.
Secret weapon. Good question? Yeah. We must make it a policy to serve out prasad at least.
There's some prediction of when the actual prediction of Lord Chaitanya will happen, and everyone will be chanting how the nation is.
It's happening.
It's supposed to be a flood, a complete flood.
Just don't turn off the socket. Don't dam it up. The flood waters are already there. It's only the devotees' lethargy that can stop it, can delay it. And then the flood will have to find some other route. So you surrender and be the instrument, and then the flood waters will be running over you. And if you hesitate long enough, then the waters will have to break it through some other place. Krishna consciousness cannot rest that, oh, we are the Krishna conscious movement, therefore we are the only ones who can give Krishna. We are the instruments now. If we humbly dedicate ourselves and carry out the orders of Prabhupada, then we will be the instruments. But if we get puffed up and don't surrender to Srila Prabhupada's desires, then Krishna Chaitanya will make some other alternative.
As long as there's one pure devotee.
Well, that's what we're following, and that's why the Krishna consciousness movement is spreading very, very rapidly. It is practically flooding. In the whole world, so many people are chanting more and more day by day. We find that in North America, it started first. Therefore, North America has to lead the world in some new program. Just like, you know, there's different, and sometimes people are doing one type of Sankirtan, then it slightly changed, and the whole another. But in terms of the preaching in North America, you find people have this idea that it's not going fast enough, this, and it's a fact. But it is going very rapidly in all other parts of the world. It's also gradually expanding here. But obviously if the devotees, instead of thinking about how it's not expanding, if they think how to expand it, and they go on working it with that enthusiasm like Prabhupada did when he came to the West, Krishna will inspire you so many ways for expanding your preaching. Sometimes Krishna makes it a little hard so that one is forced to think of new ways to preach. It is said that difficulty is the stepping stone to success. So now, it means that you just have to use your transcendental intelligence how to expand the preaching.